Well, this evening we're going to continue in our teaching in the book of Judges. Last week we started talking about a specific judge, Gideon, looking, really God's dealing with this man. And some of the teaching we did on this, I'm going to really sort of skim back into some things here, because I was studying today and there were certain things that just kept coming up. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go over and look into some of this, do some teaching in some area. But one of the things we found out about Israel is Israel fell back into its place again after Deborah had, who was the prophetess, died off, and they went back into sin again, following other gods. And it said they cried out to the Lord. And if you look it up, the word there that is used in Hebrew for Lord is the Jehovah. So they called out to Jehovah, but we're going to find as we go on to teach, yeah, they asked Jehovah for help, but they were still worshiping the other gods. As we go along, we'll find this out. But God had sent them a prophet. They called out, and the first thing we did, if we found it, God sent them the word, somebody to tell them what was going on or why things were happening. But people weren't necessarily paying attention, because he told them specifically why they were in the condition. They were being oppressed by the Midianites, and they were extremely poor. They're in a destitute situation. And he told them why. But we find out with Gideon, when the angel appears to Gideon, Gideon goes, why are things like they are? You know, it's like a lot of people today. Why are things like they are? They think it's cause somebody else bad, just somebody else bad did something. Couldn't be me. I'm such a great person, you know. I didn't kill anybody or do anything, but people don't realize, you know, when a people don't walk with God, they followed. You know, it's one thing, I often think about this, you know, when people think about the word sin, people say, you know, a lot of things what sin is, but the basis of all sin is selfishness. That's what it is. Self-centered, selfishness. People live their own lives. I'm just doing my thing. I want to have a happy life. I want to this. And whether anybody else is happy or anything else works out, it doesn't matter. It's about my life. And that's where the leading, really, of sin is. People just doing their own thing. Well, God sent him a prophet, told him what was wrong with that, and then, as I said, you know, they went off and followed their own way and did their own thing. So in the same sense that people do that today, they, even though they may want God to move, they want God to move without them changing. And, you know, we have to judge why things is. One of the things is I found this over the years as being a Christian and being in ministry, as people will, you know, come along and they will want to know, you know, things happen and why does this happen or that happen, that stuff. But you start to deal with them. Most people are always examining, looking, well, you know, so-and-so did this or this happened or that happened. But they don't ever stop and say, okay, what about me? What did I do? So one thing you've got to learn to judge yourself. The Apostle Paul wrote the church at Corinth and said to him, you judge yourself or you're going to be judged. It didn't say, don't judge the next guy. He said, judge yourself. And I found out that is the thing is, you know, first, you know, look at yourself. Is okay. What have I done something? Or what have I done? It's just like in the natural. This isn't something just from a spiritual standpoint. It's from the natural. I mean, if you went out here and did something to mess up, there's people out here today that are poor, and they're poor because of their decisions. And I don't care how much money you give them, they're staying poor. They don't change what they do. They're going to stay poor. That's just the way it is. Amen. It's not going to change. You have to change what you do.
That's right.
And it's natural. Spiritually, it's identical, the same thing. If we keep doing the wrong thing, we shouldn't expect a better result. And people need to understand. Just that's the way life is. And so making those decisions. One of the things I want to look at here in this area, because something that God had told Israel about, God spoke to Israel about what was going to happen to them when they went into the land. We talked about that last week, but I'm going to specifically read some scripture to you, because God spoke to them, really, Israel, when they got over in the area, when they went into the land, they prospered. And when they prospered, they got away from God. And that doesn't mean prosperity is bad, but we're going to talk about that tonight, because we live in a nation, one of the most wealthy nations in the world. I mean, if you take a general population and how people are taken care of in this land. Yet, this is a land that people don't follow God much. I mean, people say they want God, yeah, as long as he doesn't mess my life up or mess with me. You know, God, I love you as long as you do everything I want. One of those things. But we're going to look at that. Here's, if we go to Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, we had looked back there before. I hadn't specifically read these verses before, but I'm going to, starting at verse 19 in Deuteronomy. This is what Moses spoke, that God said through Moses concerning the children of Israel about what was going to happen when they went in the land. And he gives a reason why it's going to happen. Why this thing would take place. And this is Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter. Deuteronomy, 31st chapter. Verse 19 says, "Now therefore write down the song." Remember we talked about the song, the 32nd chapter is the song. I don't know if you went over and read it. I said, you ought to go read it. It's exciting. And this song for yourself, he said, "And teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me, for me." This is God against the children of Israel. Verse 20 says, "When I have brought them out, brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, of which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat, then they will turn to other gods and serve them, and they will provoke me and break my covenant. Then it shall be, when many evils and troubles have come upon them, that this song will testify against them as a witness. For it will not be forgotten in the mouths of their descendants. For I know the inclination of their behavior today, even before I have brought them to the land of which I have sworn to them." So he's telling them, and we want to talk about the area about prosperity. And we, because people even get on in the ditch on either side about prosperity. Now, it's just like scripture, there's middle of the road to everything. But people have a tendency to go to the ditch, either on one side. I mean, it was always funny that when I grew up as a kid, you know, was the churches that I grew up in, they would always criticize somebody being rich. Yet they all were trying to get money. I mean, I just never understood that. If anybody was, they were no different than everybody, they were trying to get money. And, but they would criticize somebody if somebody had wealth. And yet, there was numbers of them that were wealthy people. Mm-hmm. In fact, the church that we went through were wealthy churches. They had a lot of bucks, yet they criticized having wealth. I never quite understood that. But anyhow, they did that. Then you have the people on the other side where, you know, you get people in the ditch. It's like today, a lot of the prosperity message is into an extreme. It gets over into extreme. It's all about, you know, we're giving money for the whole purpose of getting money. That's why we're doing it. Well, if that's the idea in the case of it, well, see, that's an extreme, and that's over there. It's not scriptural. It's not. Now, we want to go back over. We're going to read something from in the New Testament that Paul wrote Timothy. Timothy was a pastor. 1 Timothy. We're going to read what Paul said, but we want to do this. We want to find, because we got to look at some of the things that we're dealing with in the areas of prosperity. Because there are dangers to it, to you and me as people, especially from a spiritual standpoint, that we would develop spiritually. Now, in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, that's the last chapter of the of 1 Timothy, and Paul writes to him, we're going to start down in verse 9 of that chapter, and it says, Paul wrote this, and now understand, Paul wrote to people, that, you know, he wrote the Philippians and said, "My God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Paul made mention of things. I mean, Jesus said, "You give, it's given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men will give into your bosom." Paul writes here, he says in verse 9, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Now, the word perdition means there to ruin or loss or perish. So in other words, now, we're going to go on and read the whole thing because you just want to pull that scripture out. But we need to understand certain words that he's using here in this statement. First of all, he said, those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation. Rich shouldn't be the top of anybody's list of things you want. That should not be on the top. You know, people end up having what they want, and it turns out. As a minister, I know, he has a large church. And I've known him for years. And he always, he'd always say, I never heard him one time ever say he wanted a spiritual church. Never heard him ever. He always wanted to have a large church. And you know what? He has a large church, and I wouldn't give you a nickel for it. There's no spirit, they don't have spirituality. What he want? He ended up having what he felt was the thing. In other words, in a sense, that was his wealth. That was what he wanted, to have this thing. It was other than God. The number one thing he wasn't was to be spiritual and have a spiritual people. It was to have a big church. Well, you can have a big church. You can have what you want. There's one thing is I've always wanted to be a spiritual. You know, that's been on top of my list. I mean, that's, you know, I don't see the point of Christianity other than that, you know. I never accepted Jesus for fire insurance, although I did get it from him. I mean, I'm not going to hell. But I was at the top of the list because, you know, it's like with people. People say, well, I don't want to go to hell. That is good. But wouldn't you like to grow up spiritually? Wouldn't you like to do that? Amen. Wouldn't you like to have just, well, I didn't go to hell, but I sure lived like it was while I was in the earth. I sure tried to go there. You know, it's like, what is it? What is it you want to accomplish and do? It's like, see, people, it's one of the things is wealth. When, if it becomes a priority, is he made mention here when he said about rich, he said they fall into many temptations. In other words, you need to understand this. Money is a thing that can be very tempting. You know, one of the things we do, we send people down to Washington, and sometimes good people, but they don't stay that way. Because now you need to understand, we sit around and criticize them, but we've set this system up and we say we like it. Mm-hmm. And they get down there and you get a guy and he's a nobody, but he goes down there because he's in Congress. $1 billion corporations will come and play to him to get his vote for something.
That's right.
Yep. People with all the money will chase after him to get what they want.
Yep.
And after a while, here's a guy, he's a nobody, and all of a sudden, he's part of a control of a lot of stuff. Hard thing, man. You become the big notice person. There's one thing, and I've seen this in my Christian walk. I've watched people go up the ladder, but I watch more fall than stay up.
Amen.
You know, it isn't a popularity. It's about getting power. It's not about that. We need to be very careful because these things are very tempting. There's temptation. That's why you've always heard me say this. If you don't grow up spiritually at a faster rate than you do, if you get money and stuff, you'll always follow the money. I've watched it over the years. That's the way it goes. Because why? Temptation. Like I heard one minister say it. He said, you know, money can buy you a lot of opportunities to sin.
That's right. That's true.
It can. It is. Then on the other hand, I tell you what, I can tell you about people that are Christians that are really wealthy, just generous, wonderful people. But they developed spiritually.
That's right.
They developed and they live blessed lives. The top of their list is not the money. That's not the top of the thing. That's not the top of the list of their life. You know, it's funny because I have a book at home. Years ago I got it. It was a guy from Australia. That time, like, he was worth hundreds of millions, and probably today it's billions, but he talked about money, and he talked about the things, and money was never on top of his list of anything. And he said this, he said, you know, he said, Christian groups, and he said, even, he says, companies asked me to come and speak, you know, to them and about things, and he said, lots of times they don't know really what to expect when I come. They think I'm just going to generally talk about all how you get wealth and that stuff. And he said, I can tell you this truthfully. He said, I never started any business I did to make money. He said, I always did things I really wanted to do. He said, I've started businesses that he told me I would never make a nickel doing. And he said, I've made millions off them. But he said, I didn't do it for money. He said, I do the things in life that I love to do. That's what you do. You see, he wasn't chasing after money. He said, money has always followed me. See, that's a big difference than money following you or you following money. Mm-hmm. The average person, I don't care who they are, they generally follow the money trail. I watch people ruin their lives over money, going to jobs just because they wanted to make more money, but put themselves in a situation where it was not good and it hurt their life. It hurt their life. You don't. That's one of the things is you check. Just because something comes that's called, we call blessing, many times is not a blessing. The devil will offer you things.
Amen. Preach that one.
If he can get you officer, that's why you always check and make sure if you're going to something. Is, you know, we don't just do stuff, just see, well, you know, if there's more money in it than blessing. There's people, I've turned down money from them because I tell you what, I know the person and they ain't going to have a hold in my life. And there's people come along and give you money if they can own you.
Yep.
Oh yes. Christians will do that. Christians are there coming along. I give you money, then I expect so. You went barking up the wrong tree. You barking up the wrong tree. You can't be moved by those things. You can't be moved by that stuff. And that's just where people have to get a hold of. Today, money talks. I mean, when we talk about, like, we say, like, people say we're conservatives and we're mad at the liberals over here on this and what they do. I hate to hear this today, but this talk that they do about, you know, that somehow that our democracy is held because, you know, we have the free enterprise system where everybody can make, it's all about making money. Is that what makes democracy work? Money? Yeah, it does today. That's why we don't have democracy. Because the money is the great talker. Money talks. We tell by elections. Billions and billions and billions spent. People don't get an office with $10.
Right.
Whoever has the money, yeah. It's buying popularity. It's buying. The whole thing's based on that. You come along and you're honest and whatever else, well, man, no one chew at all. So you got money. Money talks. You know, the free enterprise system is democracy. I hate to hear it. I hate to tie it together. In other words, money is what. That's why this thing's gone. I mean, I think the conservatives have ruined as much as the liberals have on a lot of this stuff. The whole idea. And then they get over there, well, what we gotta do is follow the Constitution. No, you need to follow this.
Amen.
The Constitution without morality, you can't even use it for good toilet paper.
Amen.
It's men without morality. So I want you to see, we're going to go on and read some more about this, but he said they fall into many foolish and harmful lusts. Lust, that word there is, that's the flesh, the lust of the flesh. In other words, the desires of your flesh, money can help you keep your flesh happy as long as you have it for a while, but even people run out. It's like John Paul Getty, who was a real idiot, as a really rich man. His day, he was the billionaire of his day. He was really rich. He had Getty Oil and all that stuff. But John Paul Getty, he made all the money he had. Miserable life. You follow John Paul Getty's life. Oh, you talk about miserable. He was stupid as the day was long. Rich, make money, but just dumb as the day was long. Had no good relationships. Before he died, he said this, he said that. But you know, and this is a terrible place to end up in life. Because what he did when he came to the end of his life, he said, I would give up all my wealth, he said, if I could have just had one good marriage.
Hmm.
Can you imagine? He lived all those years, all that money that man had, and he was never happy.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't have a good marriage. Why? You can't, you know, for a while you might pay people to hang around you, but you cannot pay people to like you.
Right.
Nobody got that much money. Right. They don't. Nobody has enough money to make somebody like you. You can't. You know, you can give money, they can smile, walk around, say things, and you turn their back and...
That's true.
Oh. Now listen, this statement here, and this is a statement that's always marveled me because what it says, for the love of money is the root of all. Now this is the New King James says all kinds of evil. The word all kinds of is actually added in the New King James. That's added to there. That wasn't in the Greek. So the love of money is the root of all evil. That's what it is. Just simple. Now I want you to think about that statement. I mean, that's a direct statement in Scripture that you find, you know, that, I mean, it doesn't leave a leeway. It just says, in other words, the love of money, in other words, wealth and things, stuff, is the root of all evil that takes place. That's it. You know, they need to teach us when they teach prosperity to people. You need to teach. We don't do it. That's one thing you do. They've done a terrible job on teaching prosperity because, you know, these are things that God showed me. I saw, you know, because you read the Bible and study the Bible and people don't. And these ministers don't. You know, they just listen to somebody preach. That's a great message. And then say, a lot of people like it, so I'm going to start preaching it. I'm going to start doing it. And they don't ever find out. They don't ever sit down and talk about it. That is a phenomenal statement. That the love of money is the root of all evil. And it says, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, so in other words, money ain't going to make you happy. Now, number one, it is. There's nothing wrong with having money. But money can't have you. That there's a huge difference. Having money, where it is to have, if you're trying to have money to have happiness. Now, there's one thing about it. I mean, it is more comforting to have some money in the bank, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you can't have that as your measure of happiness in life, of whether you have. It's one of the things that God began to teach me about giving because I found this out just from a natural standpoint. The more money that you have, if you don't grow spiritually, you're going to have a harder time listening to God on giving. Money has a very powerful hold. Mm-hmm. Very powerful. Very, very powerful hold on people. A lot more than most Christians like to admit it. Because I've seen, and I've talked about this before in church and stuff, I've seen Christians who were good givers, but the more money they made, more than their life got blessed, the little percentage they give toward God. Mm-hmm. Happens all the time. This happens all the time with people. What happens is they get over in an area of, they hate to release things, you know? One time one minister said he was at a meeting, he was years ago at a full gospel businessman meeting, and all these, they were getting up giving testimonies how God had blessed their life and what they could do. And God spoke to the minister and said, yeah, I wish I could get my hand on their checkbook. But you know, they didn't start there. See, I found myself in this when Wanda and I first started off. The first time I talked to Wanda about giving, I was saved, and she got saved after me, a couple months after me, and Wanda got saved. And I just had this desire to do something about giving. I don't know, I got that. I thought it was really strange. It's like when I got saved, I started out with like, wow, it just changed so much. And after I found myself wanting to give, I can truthfully say this, I never had that inclination. I never had that. I can truthfully say, I never had the idea I wanted to give anybody anything. That was, and I found myself with this one, and I just thought it was just the strangest thing. I thought, man, what is with me? But I talked to Wanda about it, about giving, and said, I remember her looking at me like, you know, we financially at that time, we're just trying to make ends meet. And I talked to her, I said, about giving. So we just need to give some. And she thought, oh man, now he's out there. He's gone. So. But we found out as we started to, I mean, we were amazed in this fact as we started doing that, that how things worked out for us. It was absolutely astounding. I mean, Wanda used to, because Wanda was, she always wanted to handle the checkbook and all that kind of stuff. I always know what's going on, but she'd always want to handle it. I'd say, go ahead if you, you know, she likes to do that. But anyhow, she would come to me and she'd say, you know, it's amazing. We started giving. And she said, I don't know, but everything's worked out in the bills, but I don't know how it's worked out because we weren't able to work this out before, but now it's working. Mm-hmm. And we started just going along. But now in those times is number one, I wanted to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. That was a big thing because in February of 1980, I got born again in January. In February, the Lord said to me, he said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. And 20 years later, he said to me, most of my people have not amounted to anything. Now, he wasn't their people are bad or his people are evil. It's a whole fact, but they're not listening to him. Mm-hmm. They're following their own life. And I just want to encourage you, learn to be led by the Spirit. But in doing so, God put us through some things. I mean, we didn't have money. Like, you know, to us, I mean, I had cashed our check on our anniversary. It was our... We had $68 left. We didn't have no other money. That was it. We paid everything, and that was $68. And we went to a communion service, as they had at that time when they were having those satellite communion services way back yonder. That's when the satellite dishes were as big as a house. Do you remember those days? I don't know if you do or not. Those were so big you could talk to somebody on Venus, you know. And anyhow, but I'll never forget this. We went to the satellite service, and so they took an offering at the meeting there, and God said, "I want you to put everything in." That means this is our anniversary. And God says, "Put everything in." Well, you know, I didn't really have, I thought, well, you know, he's speaking, I know I got to do it. But I thought, Wanda's going to kill me. So I said to Wanda, the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm supposed to put everything in. She said, well, if he told you to, then do it. I thought, man, without relief. But still, you're wondering, you know, the whole thing. But I mean, we're just starting off as Christians. This is not, we're way down the road. This is one thing I said I don't understand today, because people act like everything's so difficult. God taught us, you know, something. God teaches us through testing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a test that day. And you know what? We passed the test.
Hallelujah.
We passed the test. Well, I mean, there was we gave it like the following week. Now you're sitting around, you don't get money in between. The following week. Now, one thing that we did, we never went around telling people we needed money or anything like that. We never did that stuff. I was just always, I read the scripture. It said, you ask God and in secret, he'll reward you openly. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with ministries taking offerings or telling people like certain needs. It doesn't matter. But I mean, I know there's ones go to extreme in that today. You know, they'll tell you they need money when they don't. And they'll do that. A lot of them do it. And we're just, God told us to do it. And we didn't complain about it. We didn't whatever. But a person came up to us that we never said a thing to him. And he came up and handed us a check for, I guess it was like close to $350 or something like that. And I thought, see, God can get a hold of people. He can get a hold of people. You know, to me, that was such a learning. To me, it was a learning. That changed my faith. I mean, it was like, wow, see, don't you want to experience something like that?
Amen.
But you know what? You may never, if you don't ask God, say, God, I got to learn how to step out and trust you, mm-hmm. where I lay all of me aside and let you do something that'll bring, your faith will never go to another level with you doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It won't.
That's
right. You can't believe, you know, Wanda and I learned this way. Our faith went in increments. And it went by increments with our relationship with God. As he proved himself, and every time he proved himself, we could believe a little higher. And then he proved himself again, and we would go to another step. See, people want to go from God, we need thousands of dollars. They never even saw God bring them $2.
Mm-hmm.
It don't work that way.
That's right.
This is why people say, well, like you've heard me tell the story of Juan and I, $20. That was the biggie. We started off with, you might as well ask me to believe for $10,000 is to believe for $20, because that was our first time with God. That was the first time we were going to believe God something for finances. And it was $20. Well, you know, I said, we never had nothing like that take place where it just up and came in. And we didn't say anything to anybody. And then God supernaturally got hurt. Literally, supernaturally got her $20. And that just changed us. I mean, it was like, you know, it was no different to us if somebody would have came and handed me a check for $10,000. That was such a big deal. And that was the whole thing, being such a big deal. And this is why. Start off from little things, but allow God to do something. Set yourself that you allow God to do something supernaturally that you can stop and say, hey, he did this.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't me. I didn't tell anybody. See, I've learned things of not to say things. God finally dealt with me with that. Don't tell anybody. I had a certain thing I needed. He'd say, don't tell anybody. Why? I found out why. Because when it comes in, he got a hold. He did that. He can get a hold of people. And you need to have that. See, today we live in a society of If you need something, let everybody know. If you're having a hard time, let everybody know. If you're and that's what it is. We're in that society. But you've got to get over with God, arrive at that place and say, God, this is me and you.
Amen.
What I need to do is develop my faith where I can trust you, because things are going to come along in every one of our lives. And I'm going to tell you, nobody's going to be able to help you.
Amen.
Nobody's going to have the answer for you. Nobody's going to be able to help you. What do you do then? If you have done nothing but practice with people helping you, that's all you're going to have to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you have to stand on. You come to the place where you see God has done this. Well, we started off in the little. And as we went along, you know, God blessed our lives and did things for us. And it was wonderful. But it's one of the things you want to get. You don't want the things to do if you just follow. It wasn't, we were never in the things of following money. It's one of the things, I can just say for Wanda and I both, we loved to give. We did. We really liked to do it. We enjoyed it. I found a pleasure. See, it's one thing. Do you really have a pleasure in giving?
Amen.
Do you want to go to that place where you find great pleasure in giving, blessing somebody? Where that's very enjoyable to you. Mm-hmm. See, that's where the God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah. If you don't enjoy doing it,
that's right.
Well, you're not in a place that God, you are, you know, on the best stance with each other on that. He loves the cheerful giver. He said he don't say he loves givers. He loves the cheerful one. In other words, and we got to that point where we really did like doing it. And we got to this point, got to the place where we wanted us in our giving is to do whatever God wanted us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever God wanted us to do. And sometimes, I mean, it's not always the easiest to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God talks today to us about a lot bigger numbers. We give a lot bigger numbers when we give. But you know what? We can do. We can do it. I mean, we were just at some meetings, and God gave us a real big number, and we just said, "That's what we're going to do." God gave the number, and that's what you're going to do.
Amen.
See, most people are so worried about their 401k. I'm in number one. I want to please God.
Mm-hmm.
You can do whatever you want, but that's all you're going to. You're going to have whatever you put your time into. When it comes down and the rubber meets the road, people who haven't followed after God are going to have a hard time. They're going to be asking for things they're never going to see received. They're never going to receive it. It ain't going to come. It ain't going to happen. Because they not set themselves. You know, Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not just something that you do. And it's a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say this. People who walk with God and go away from God and come back and walk and go away, come back, they never come to a place for a good walk. Never come to that. Why? Because it takes a lifetime to develop a walk with God.
Amen.
Takes a lifetime to do it. Because, you know, I often think about my parents, the type of people they were. They didn't become that overnight or anything like that. Mm-hmm. They were years of practice of their morality and the way that they did things.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lifestyle that they had set.
Okay.
And that's what you want to do. These are decisions to make. Say, hey, hold it, you know. I don't have a plan B. It's not a plan B. You know, we're going to follow God. We're going to stay on this road, and I want you to get there. Why? Because it's that thing ends with it says they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. I don't want people to pierce themselves. Don't pierce yourself through with many sorrows. There is nothing worse than come to the life and say, I wish I would have.
Yeah.
If I would have only had. See, people do that. Or I wish I'd have never done that. Now, none of us have ever been there, have we? No, we've never. Sometimes we, you know, this whole thing, we pierce ourselves through with many sorrows. Don't add something else to the list. Of develop a life so you don't pierce yourself. Now, we're going to read a good section of scripture here, because this deals with the whole thing, is looking this. We don't want to just pick those scriptures. There's nothing wrong with wealth, but develop spiritually where you can have an enjoyable life and you're not stuck where over here where something, you just have to have this all the time. You're always struggling for something. where you don't come to a place, you don't live in a place of rest and joy. Always afraid you're not going to have enough. Now, being rich, there's many people who are poor and don't have much money together. They love money as much as anybody else. Mm-hmm. They're always trying to get somebody else to take the money from somebody else and give it to them. That's what they vote for people in office for. They're just as guilty of this stuff. They're full of lusts and sin. They have just as much of it. Always after somebody else's stuff. Always after. You don't want to go there. You know, I never, if somebody else gets blessed, I don't think of, if I thought that they were even, my words, how on earth did they ever get blessed? But still, I don't get upset if somebody else gets money and somebody else is blessed. Stay happy. Because that might be, you know, the thing that keeps you from getting blessed. Because I'll guarantee you, if you got really blessed, there's people ain't going to like that either. He said, but you, oh man of God, verse 11, flee these things and pursue. In other words, flee this other stuff. He said, this is what you pursue. Here's the things that you pursue as a Christian. And these are the things that I've learned over time, because God will bless you financially if you pursue these things. What are we supposed to pursue? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. That's what he says. This is our pursuit. See, this will keep money in its right perspective. As you gain wealth, it keeps it in its right perspective. You know, money is like if a carpenter had a toolbox. Money is no more than having a hammer or whatever, a saw or whatever it is. It's nothing but a tool. And you know, you don't go a carpenter. I mean, a carpenter falls in love with these tools, somebody would think he's weird. It's a tool. In life, money's a tool. That's what it is. See, the things we pursue are these things here. We pursue righteousness. We pursue godliness. We pursue faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Then he says this. He says, therefore, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Isn't this interesting? He's writing to Christians and he tells them, see, we say, I have eternal life. He said, hey, you got to lay hold of it. You might be born again, but never live like eternal life. The average Christian does not live like they have eternal life. They live lives, just pretty much, they don't act like they have eternal. People need a revelation. And see, if you don't pursue righteousness, you don't pursue godliness and that stuff, this stuff becomes a foreign thing to you, this eternal life thing. It's no more than a word. People say, what's eternal life? Is living forever. Everybody lives forever. People live for eternity in the lake of fire. That's not what eternal life is, the life of God. I want to experience God's life, not Ed's life. I've had Ed's. I've had his. We can show you something better. So lay hold of eternal life. He says, which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many. In other words, you're called to this eternal life. You're called to this thing, to live the God life. He said, I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and glory, it says, an everlasting power. Amen. Now listen, he said, command those, now this is what he says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So see, being rich isn't bad, but he said one thing about being rich. Having money don't make you anything special. And you got to keep yourself over in that. See, people get money. One of the things you find that Paul wrote about in churches and that stuff, one of the things they had, they were treating people who had wealth, they were giving them good seats. You come up here, you know. See, I see this among ministers. They do this all the time, you know. Whoever gives them money, you're my buddy, you stay close. You stay close. By the basis of who gives the most, right? They do that all the time. Ministers do that all the time. They hang close to the guy who gives the bucks.
Yep.
I can truthfully say I don't do that. I can truthfully say without a doubt. like years ago, I put the biggest big giver in our church out of our church. Mm-hmm. He tried to own me, and I told him about it. And he made some remarks to me, and I said, "Well, if you show up in church," I said, "on Sunday morning, I'm going to tell the whole congregation what you said to me." He said, "You'd do that?" I said, "Just show up. I'd watch." I said, "Sunday morning, they're going to know the scoundrel you are." And you know what he did? This minister, remember I talked about wanting this big church? This minister knew what he did in our church. And he went and turned around and went down to their church, and they gave him a position. Money and that kind of stuff is the same in the church as it is in the world. Mm-hmm. There's much buying and selling going on. Hallelujah, but he left our church. Things were looking up. Glory to God. But number one, see, I ain't going to tolerate that. Mm-hmm. You put money in the offering plate, you don't own it. I want you to know that right now. You don't own it. If you gave him the purpose, because you could say something, you know, you get what you want, man, you went the wrong place. You definitely got the wrong spirit. This man might spend eternity with that spirit. I don't know. But ain't doing that. We don't do that. I don't give money on the basis to control somebody. Or something. I'm going to do it. You know, I say people say, "Well, you know, they give money, and they, well, this money they didn't do right. They didn't do this." Hey, I give to them. I gave it. It ain't my control anymore. Yeah. Your money's still in control. Your control when you give it away, you never gave it. In fact, the American government does not consider that you gave money if you have any control over it after it's given. It is not legal to write it off. That's the law. When you give money, you have no more say to it, or it is not a gift. It's not a gift. That's why I learned to give. I give, and that's what we did. Somebody messes up with it, well, they got to live with it, not me. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Glory to God. So they're not supposed to be haughty. Nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things of joy. He says, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. See, money can keep you from getting a hold of eternal life. Money can keep you from living the life of God. You'd be born again, a child of God, but never live like it. Money could keep you there. See, I decided a long time ago, I don't want to. This is one of the things that we need to understand. If you develop any others, see, I'm not scared of money. See, the whole thing is what you want to pursue. See, I want to get the point that you can have or not have, and it don't change your life. It doesn't make you any less spiritual. Whether you have today, and tomorrow, it goes away. Yep. It'll come back to me again. Don't worry. It'll be fine. Did you ever notice this about people? In fact, if you study things about people wealthy, it's amazing how many times you find people who have been wealthy lose money and come right back and gain again. See, a lot of times this is one of the things is the wealthy people, a lot of people that are wealthy have, which people that are poor don't have. People that are poor are always trying to get money. Wealthy people usually aren't generally from that standpoint. They know what to do in life. They'll go out and do because the things that they practice will bring wealth to them in the natural. They'll bring wealth to them. And so they learn to do that, what to do the things. See, people don't learn that. Poor people, they don't do that. These people that are wealthy, they take risks when it comes to money. See, people don't want to do that. People try to cling to everything, hold to everything. See, I don't want to take a chance. I don't want to go out here. But they do. They'll turn around. You know, you get people. How many times have you heard people that start a business, the hours and stuff that they put in to do to get there? And then you get the employees in. They got to work 40 hours a week, and they're complaining because he drives a big car, lives in a big house. He should. He's put all the time and money into this thing. You didn't. You got paid for every hour that you got. You need to keep your mouth shut. Go start your own business if you know so much. This is good preaching, folks.
Great preaching.
Whoever puts the time and work in ought to have it. Not somebody who didn't.
Right.
Like my dad said, you went to work for somebody, they didn't come look for you, you came to them. If you don't like it, you know where the door is, leave. You don't stay there and fuss with them. That's what he told us. You don't do that. You don't stay there and fuss with them. You leave. Well, it comes down to respect and things and stuff, and you have to have it. Because, see, it has to do with wealth and life. You have to have it. There's got to be a respect shown. See, you know, those are an authority. Your supervisors and stuff, people in authority over you. You disrespect them, the Bible says you disrespect God.
Amen.
So don't sit around criticizing all and running down them down all the time and then say, I love Jesus. Yeah, sure. He don't know it though. He has no idea that that's going on. See, we don't want to show, we want to respect, we respect God by respecting authority. See, even if the authority's wrong, that don't mean I have to get disrespectful. This is one of the things we have today in our government, why the mess is going on. It's in among the people, and so it's in among the government. Nobody respects anything. Everybody's on each other all the time. Nobody respects, people just openly, always running down. It's like the President of the United States, I wish people just shut up. If you don't like what he does, that's fine. But sit and run him down all the time. Don't change a thing other than we have to listen to you say something. Hey, every night, you know, I feel sorry for the man. He's blind, deaf, and dumb spiritually. He has no clue. He's on his way to hell. You know, ain't nothing I could ever do in life that would hurt him as much as he's hurt him.
Amen. Amen.
See, we need to come this way. When it just becomes to running the things down, and this is what we're doing. We're just this constant thing going on. And we're you can't do these things and bring wealth to a nation. It don't work. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. You can't do it in your own life. And so we need to, I've had to deal with people. As, you know, I've watched people in life who've had major they had problems and things in their business. I mean, I've talked to people over the years, even people who went to our church. I've talked to them. They always complained about their jobs all the time. And I took it back and said, you got to stop that. You can't. You're a misery, and now you're trying to make everybody else miserable by telling them what your problem is. Mm-hmm. And you're always complaining about the job. And I've asked people, leave. Well, I can't. I don't have a job. I know this. If they left, they'd just take it right to the next place they went to and just be the same thing. You don't like the place that you are, you know? You ain't going to ever have a place that's really great to work because you're there.
That's right.
Woo! That was it. See, but you carry that. It just carries on. You know, Wanda and I, we were in a church years ago. We had end up having to leave the church. We had things that were going on were just way out. We bared with a long time, you know, but anyhow, when we left, when God told us to start a church, we started a church. We had some people came from that church to our church. And they came criticizing what went on in that church and going telling everybody. And I'd take them aside and I told them, I said, that don't go on here. I said, if you're spiritual and you know everything and you're so spiritual, I said, you should be the first one forgiving them. And not holding this stuff. But I said, you act like you know that their bad thing, your problem is because of them. I said, if you're going to keep talking to us here, I don't want you here. I said, you need to leave. I said, because I don't want that spirit in this church. I don't want it here. See, people have to decide what they want. You know, Paul wrote, those complainers and gripes and moaners, he said, don't eat as much as eat with them. That's what he wrote to in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. You see why you don't want to do that. Just boning and grappling and complaining all the time about problem is not going to solve, that doesn't solve problems. That doesn't solve problems. Running people down and that stuff and things and always, we have so much criticism going on in our nation. It's all the time. That's why, I mean, I hate all this online stuff. I hate it. I hate it. If the internet blew up tomorrow, I'd praise Jesus and praise Him and praise Him and thank you, Lord Jesus. God, you do love us, don't you? Because people just, there's just so much trash. People say, well, there's good things. Yeah, but there's a billion bad things. I said, there's 500 bad junk going on in this thing to the good stuff that goes across to it. Because for some reason, people, it is just too easy. These are the temptations and the lusts in life that come and you're dealing with this stuff and you're dealing around with people. And you know this, if you say things to people about it, they're going to get mad at you, and people don't want to lose their friends, so they don't say anything. They won't be my friend if I tell them I don't want to hear their junk anymore. Mm-hmm. Praise Jesus. Amen. Now we don't have to put up with them. But see, people, this is one thing. See, when we get over and you get into the wrong state spiritually, what happens is people and things become your joy. It isn't the joy of the Lord you don't have. It's all these other things that you need to have. They become your wealth.
That's right.
That you have to do to be happy. Can you be happy alone?
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people can't be happy alone. They ain't happy. If they're about, you put most people in there by themselves for a while. They gotta have somebody. Somebody gotta be there. Something's gotta entertain me. Somebody's gotta, they can't stand me. Why? Because they ain't nice enough to be with. And when they have to be with themselves, it ain't no fun. Oh my, okay, put the rocks away. But these are things we all deal with. This stuff is going on in life. This stuff is happening in life. These are things we have to evaluate and decide. How do I operate it? What do I do? Well, there's got to be something better than me just trying to figure out in my mind what to do about this. And this is one thing. See, if you develop spiritually, God gives you wisdom on what to do and how to live life.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do that. Because the things going on, psychology is not the answer. Today we have so much psychological stuff going on, and that stuff being taught, well, to do this and to do that. We need God's power.
Amen.
We need it. Eternal life is having the life of God operating through us. We need to make some decisions like God would. We need to have some God decisions. And so it's over there. You don't want to be, it's wonderful. I want to see people live comfortable, nice lives, have good things. I want to see them do that. But I don't want to dominate them. I don't want to rule them.
Right.
Because you miss out. Because every one of us will leave and go off into eternity. This is a, like, Peter wrote, this is a vapor of smoke. Mm-hmm. He's right. This is a short trip here. This ain't nothing.
Amen.
But eternity's forever. And we're laying down for eternity. What eternally do I step into? Do I step into an eternity of reward? Or I just, well, you made it. Understand, the reward that you step into is for eternity. It don't change beyond that. See, people don't get that. They think, oh, I'll just make it up when I get there. No place in Scripture teaches that. See, down here is where we're proving this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to prove out in heaven. There's nothing up there to tempt. There's no lusts of the flesh in heaven. There's none of that there. You get to heaven, you're not going to be tempted to anything.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going to be able to tell your flesh to shut up at what it wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Money will be no concern whatsoever. Those things are. Down here is we're dealing in this life. This proves out the life of faith here.
Mm-hmm.
This is the life of faith here. What obstacle would there be in heaven to trust? There would be nothing to not. I mean, the faith walks here. Here's where you have to walk by faith. Down here, where you're walking through it, it's sticking to your shoes, You're walking through this stuff and you're dragging it along with you. And you gotta walk by faith. And you gotta, no matter how far you walk, something else will come. And this is the place of day by day. If you gotta walk by faith, the reason it's telling that the faith walk is day by day, because you're gonna have to use it every day.
Amen.
It isn't until you wait till a serious problem comes, then we're gonna get in faith. No, it's a good thing to, every day. You wake up in the morning and say, man, I need to trust God today. Wow, the devil ain't asleep.
Amen.
The devil's not as, he's from the standpoint like God from this stand, he's not all knowing, but he neither sleeps nor slumbers. He's out trying to get people. He's trying to out, he wants you irritated. He wants you miserable. That's what
right.
He wants you.
Amen.
That's right.
He wants you to be miserable. He wants to get you over there. Why? You can't be miserable and walk in faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
Faith is the place of rest. This is why people wear out, and we have so many people in depression today and all kinds of stuff going on, because it requires faith in these days to go to rest. And I look at so many people and they need rest. They desperately need rest. They're worn. People are just worn. They're worn down. They're just worn. They're beat up. No rest. Why? No faith, no rest. Entering into rest, that's what God wants you to enter into rest. That's a life of faith. In other words, no matter what happens in your life and what goes on, you're at rest and you're at faith with God. You're at rest. God's going to take care of it. I'm dealing with this problem, but I'm not the one just carrying it. I got the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's carrying this for me. Where you get it, that's where you want to go to. It's because you're always going to find things that are going to be hard to handle. Stuff that's hard to handle. It's hard to deal with. Sometimes it's not even things about you, but you just see about others. You know, you got to learn to trust God about others. You know? See, we learned to trust God, Wanda and I, you know, concerning our kids, you know? You know, because too many people want to be God to their kids, and they don't want their kids. You got to trust God concerning your kid. Not be afraid. See, today I see people trying to protect their kids from everything. You can't do it. You need to trust God. You can't protect everything. Did you ever notice that? You can't. And that's where you trust God. See, when you live in fear, the devil reigns and rules.
That's right. Amen.
See, and that's where you get over in the areas of trust. I mean, to me, I lived a life of worry before I got saved. I lived a life of trying to control. I lived that life. And I know it does nothing but drive you. You're driven all the time. You're all the time driven. Because here you are trying to control, and things are always out of control. You're trying to control what you can't control. And so you get out of there, and I learned the life of faith, and I went out, and I could see things, and I could see it's out of control, but I wasn't afraid anymore.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I wasn't afraid anymore.
Amen.
You know? It's like, sure, there's all these crazy people doing all this crazy stuff, but I got rest. God will take care of me in all this mess. Being able to lay down your head at night on a pillow and go to sleep immediately. You don't have to lay there hours trying to go to sleep while your mind's racing about every problem that's going on. I lived in that place. And hallelujah, God is good. And I want you to get a hold of that. This is what Lord, you know, really wanted me to minister in this area tonight. Because people get bound to things that are going to keep you, what's going to do. I'm going to tell you, it's God. He's so merciful and He's so kind and He is so good. And He's provided us a way. But that way is not a way of logic of men. It's not a way. It's learning to lay our wisdom aside. See, this doesn't make any sense. It don't make any sense to love your enemy. Somebody does something to you, well, I'm going to walk in love with them, and I ain't going to say anything about it. Could you imagine what it would be like if you took 1 week in America and nobody was attacking the other person and people did stuff? There are politicians and are people that for a week, nobody's attacking. Could you imagine? Most people probably drop over dead. But could you imagine what it'd be like? See, we live in a world where somebody does something. See, our whole news media is based off that. Somebody does something and somebody makes a comment about them because of what they... And it's just a constant back and forth. It is. And I see people in there, Christians, and they're doing it. It's like... And then they go to church, say we're trusting God. It's like, oh, what a joke. You can't do that. You can't live that life. You know? Oh, none of us are perfect. God is. That's why we trust Him.
Amen.
That's why we have faith in Him. Because you put faith in each other, we're in big trouble.
Amen.
We're all fallible. Let's just, we're people.
Amen.
But God's not fallible.
Hallelujah.
I am so glad. That's why we can trust Him. He's not fallible. He's never lied about what He said He'd do.
Amen.
I don't know anybody else like that. I don't, you know, even if we don't lie, we don't know everything. And we'll say things that aren't true, and even because we're lying, what we think. But He never speaks anything that's not true. It's not right.
Amen.
It's not. I mean, you look at what He said in the book, you can just count on it every time. See, I was always went with John G. Lake. John G. Lake said, if Jesus made a statement about something, he don't have any interest in what anybody else has to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
He says, if Jesus said it, that's it. That's the final say on the subject. Mm-hmm. You can all talk about how you what you think. He said, I don't really care. I don't care. Jesus said it. That's it. And why? We want to come to that because there is, and this is the whole thing, a peace and rest. Wow. And I'll tell you what, my great desire for all of you is to live in that place of peace and rest.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That place of peace. God's well able to care. Things in this nation are going crazy. God ain't going crazy. God is still the same about it. He knows how to take care of His people. He knows how to look after things.
Praise God.
He still does.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Don't join the crowd. I'm just telling you, the crowd is always wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Amen.
Crowd's always wrong. Crowd's never right. Crowd's always wrong. If you follow the majority, you just took off in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
Don't matter what they're doing or what they're saying. It's follow Jesus Christ. Don't matter what anybody else does. Somebody got to set example. Don't say, well, nobody else is doing it. I don't care. I've had that over the years. Mm-hmm. Well, why should I do it? Nobody else does. See, I do it because I'm going to be moral and right, and I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't give a rip what the rest of them are doing. Because I ain't going to hell with them.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Right.
There's an eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already set my course.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to day. One day, I'm going to do what the Scripture said. I'm going to look on Him face to face.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to see Him as He is. Woo! Hallelujah. See, the end of the goal, the prize at the end
Amen.
Is just worth to...
Amen. That's right.
It's worth it. There's a day, a new heaven and a new earth. This earth is going to go. They can... all drive electric cars and it's still going to go. I'm just sorry to tell you, it ain't going to be here. The book said it's gone.
Amen.
Because I'm going to tell you, the people that are trying to save the world are going to destroy it because most of them are in sin. They have no trust in God whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Sin is the destroyer. You cannot stop this earth from falling apart.
That's right.
You can't. Impossible. Sin is destroying it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's destroying it. The Bible tells us in Romans the 8th chapter that this earth is convulsing. It's looking, for, it says, for the redemption of the sons of men. It's looking. This earth can't wait till Jesus comes. This earth is looking forward to Jesus coming. This earth wants to vomit out the ungodly. I've often wondered what people think today because people live in sin and they have a gospel of sin today. You can live and do whatever, you know, and God still loves you and yeah, He loves people. But what are these people going to say when Jesus Christ returns at the end of the tribulation period and He'll destroy over probably a couple hundred million people at one time? What are they going to say about that? At Armageddon, just one of the armies is 100 million people.
Mm.
He's going to destroy them all. Hmm. Gee, I can see him now. Well, He don't love everybody. Because people don't understand. If you don't ever judge between good and evil, you know nothing about love.
Amen. Preach.
You have no clue what love even means.
Mm-hmm.
If you love, you'll judge yourself.
Amen.
Or you will be judged.
Yep.
And it ain't going to be by Santa Claus or somebody. It's going to be Jesus. He'll judge. Hallelujah. So, I hope we learned some things here tonight because we need to talk about these things. This isn't stuff that puts away from God to bring us closer to Him. There needs to be a reverence for God. There needs to be we look at Jesus in our life and He came to save me so I can just do whatever I want. That's not what it is. That's not what salvation's about. I can't disrespect Him. To not honor the words that He said. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my word.
Amen.
So see, He's not interested if I say I love Him. He's not interested in that. He's interested in what I do.
Amen.
See, that's why I don't care what the politicians say. I don't pay attention to what they talk. I don't care. I'm only interested in what they do.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with people. I learned over the years, you can tell me anything in the world. Don't matter. We'll find out by our seeing what you do. It is. Isn't that true?
Amen.
I can say I love God, but we'll find out. That's why Jesus said, you keep my word. So understand that. We need that. This is just what the Bible says. And we need to get in line with it. It's not put there to hurt you. It's so you can be blessed.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's just like in the natural. There's things that you do. The guy that robs a bank, he shouldn't expect to get blessed. Should he? Why would people think they'd live in sin and go against Jesus and they're going to get blessed? Why would anybody think so? Why could we go against the laws of men? They want to punish you. We can go against the laws of God and God will say, oh, it don't matter. Who do you think established the system? God did. See, that's why it comes down to respect. It comes down to honor and respect of God. Hallelujah. If we honor and respect Him, we'll honor and respect men. We need to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you tonight, Lord God, for your kindness and mercy.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because, Lord God, you sure have been merciful.
Amen.
You've been good in spite of some of the things we've done. You've blessed us. And one of the things that I'm just marvel about you is your patience.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, in this nation, we've gotten away with so much for a long time. But you've been patient. And Lord God, you're still calling out to people. You're still calling out, Lord God. Lord, because your word says you don't take any pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. You just keep trying to get things turned around. Just because that's you love. You want to turn it around. So Father, I just want to thank you for being so kind and patient to us. To turn us around. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for everyone that's hearing your voice. Everybody that's listening, Lord God. Lord, not just in this nation, but around the world, Lord God. That they hear, Lord God, because truly you are calling your people to yourself.
Amen.
You're speaking to them, Lord God. Your great desire to fellowship with them. Your desire to bless their lives, Lord God. And so, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that we can count on you. Hallelujah. That, Father, it isn't a matter of we would never miss the mark. Oh, Lord God, that we're going to just get so perfect. No, Lord God, our walk of faith is our trusting in you. Is looking to you, who is our big help. Hallelujah. And, Lord God, we do want to please you.
Amen.
We want to be pleasing in your sight. Hallelujah. Father, forgive us many times trying to be men pleasers, trying to please people, and not always pleasing to you. But Lord God, Lord, we ask you to help us, because we sure do need help.
Amen.
We need your ability. We need your power. Lord God, we want to lay a hold of eternal life. We want to live the God life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's our great desire, is to live the God life. And so, Lord God, we set ourselves on a course to follow, Lord God, to righteousness, Lord God, to follow what's right, follow what's good, Lord God. Hallelujah. And not follow the ways of men. And we thank you, Father God, for helping us, hallelujah, encouraging us and strengthening us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.